welcome to this week's Yes to Life show. Yes to Life is a UK registered charity helping people with cancer to access integrative medicine, the broadest possible approach to helping people with cancer physically, mentally and spiritually. I'm Robin Daly, the founder of Yes to Life and the regular presenter of the show, in which I talk to people working to help people with cancer, as well as occasionally to people who have things to share from their personal experience of going through cancer. My guest this week works with a material that's critical to us all, whether we're sick or not, water. Paul Barattiero has a particular enthusiasm for a form of enriched water that I shall be asking about, but I shall also go into the whole subject of hydration with Paul in some detail. I'm speaking to Paul over Skype in Florida. Hi Paul, thanks very much for speaking with us today. I've never done a show on hydration, so this should be interesting.
Very good. Thankful to be with you.
So, if you'll excuse the pun, I aim to cover the waterfront today in terms of the relationship between good hydration and health, but I'll be wanting to home in on particular aspects that will be of importance to our listeners with cancer. I know you've got a particular message about the benefits of a type of enhanced water, but I'd like to start with the basics. What does good hydration look like, and what are the benefits in general terms?
Well, hydration is critical, more than most people understand, because the last study that I saw from Harvard, they studied 4,000 individuals ages 6 to 19, and 54.5% of them were chronically dehydrated. Wow. So we know it's a significant issue, and more people are dehydrated than they understand. And this wasn't just, you know, they had a weekend running in some fields and just didn't drink as much water. These were chronically dehydrated people. So on a regular basis, they're walking around this planet dehydrated. And the effects of chronic dehydration are significant. You have significantly reduced energy in the body. So the metabolic rate or the energy production rate in the body in general is lower when people are chronically dehydrated. The ability to filter out things in the lungs. People don't understand that 50% of water loss is in the breathing process or in the lungs. Mm-hmm. So when you expel breath, moisture goes with that. Anyone who's been in cold weather knows that, right? Because you have the nice little steam that comes out. So the mist that comes out of your breath, well, 50% of water loss is breathing, but the body is smart, as we know, and if you're dehydrated, it will ratchet down how much moisture is being expelled through breath or exhalation, and the effect of that is a lot of people end up with different allergy issues or different respiratory issues, and so a lot of children that are dehydrated, they're drinking juices and not water or what have you, they end up on breathing treatments or albuterol or other things of this nature when really they need to be hydrated adequately. And so many people, so many children especially, when they start drinking water appropriately, all of a sudden they don't need their inhaler anymore, and the different respiratory issues can many times go away. Mm. Also, just from an overall filtration system, you know, water is our filtration system. We're 70% water, typically, if we're properly hydrated. And this is a great process for taking toxins out of the body. So if we are not properly hydrated, we're not going to, through normal elimination pathways, eliminate toxins out of our system. Another major problem is digestion. We need water to produce fecal matter. We need water to urinate. We need water to do these things. But effectively, digestion, people don't understand that you need water to process food. And that's something that is misunderstood in most people. So there's many different things. If we look at water, you know, blood is 93% water. You know, bone is 13% water. So every aspect of our body utilizes water. There is a wonderful book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water by Dr. Batman-Gelage, pretty famous book, but it goes system by system in the body and describes how joints are pumped up by water, you know, digestion, eyes, neurologic system, on and on and on. So water is critical, period. And we need to make sure that we are drinking clean water, because if water has too many toxins in it, the source water, our body may reject it, and we won't be able to be hydrated even though we're drinking water all the time. So we need to make sure that we're at least getting clean water that our body can utilize on a cellular level.
Mm, okay, well, I think you sold it. You've made a pretty good case for us all having a lot of water there. All right, thanks. So can we start to look at some specifics now? So a major and growing issue for people in developed countries is dealing with toxins. They're in our food, in the air we breathe, in the products, the materials we use, and so on. And as you just pointed out, water can play an important role here in getting rid of these. If that's going to be the case, as you also said there, we need to look at the quality of the water itself, because we could actually be adding to our problems by having water with toxins in. So can we just look at the basics now of like the sources of water and what, in your opinion, are the best ones?
Well, I don't know there's a specifically a best one. I think that as long as we have water that doesn't have heavy metals, pesticides, pharmaceuticals, these are the things that people aren't paying attention to right now. And the reality is, I don't know about the UK as well as I do the US where I live, but I can tell you in the US that there are a lot of medications being taken, or pharmaceutical drugs. And when the body does not utilize those drugs, it is eliminated through urination in the toilet. Well, when these water companies, municipalities, are filtering that water that's coming from the toilet and used back into the water supply, they are not going through a process to remove all of these drugs. There was a study done in the U.S. on 27 water municipalities. Mm-hmm. All of them had pharmaceutical drugs, a lot of blood pressure medication, because that's the number one taken medication anyways, is blood pressure. But a lot of class 3 narcotics, like Ritalin for children that supposedly have ADHD or ADD or some of these things. So these are class 3 narcotics that are in the water. Now, I understand that they're in very small amounts. But, you know, anyone that understands homeopathic remedies knows that it's just the suggestion of things or frequencies of things that can definitely change the body. So I would start by saying anyone needs to filter water, and we need to filter water sufficiently so that we remove at least the most toxic things, like heavy metals, pesticides, pharmaceuticals. These are the three things that we really need to get rid of, and we need to make sure that we are not ingesting heavy metals, you know, lead and arsenic and mercury, which sometimes can be in water because of the pipes that they're carried in. We definitely don't want those heavy metals in our system. And it all comes down to the health of our gut. You know, we don't want to damage our gut biome, because our gut biome is the most critical system in our body, because the immune system, the health of the immune system is tied to gut health. So I would say first and foremost, filter water, no matter what water they're drinking, filter it so that we remove the things that can harm the body. That would be the first and foremost.
Okay, and what systems of filtering do you think do the job you just described adequately?
Well, there are several different systems. There, and really it comes down to two different options. You can use a system that uses media. For instance, if the filtration system has a really high-end carbon from coconut husk, or what's called a catalytic carbon, to where you can remove these things. Also using media like the KDF material, that's copper and zinc. Those are very good in combination with carbon. They're very good to remove metals and pesticides, as well as the carbon. And the carbon will last, you know, up to 6 times longer when you combine it with KDF materials. So these are some things. There are also some wonderful medias that specifically remove pharmaceuticals or, you know, drugs out of the water. Mm. That would be great to have. So you have two options. You either get a system with multiple media types to address each of these issues we're talking about, mm-hmm. or you could get a reverse osmosis system, which is the number one filtration method used in the world, period, no matter what country. And a lot of people have come out negatively against reverse osmosis water. And it's all based on false information. It's not based on anything that has been substantiated. But it is typically easier for a household to maintain a reverse osmosis system than some other systems. But a reverse osmosis system is typically a point of use, so it's under the sink for drinking water. Some people do have whole house reverse osmosis, but they can be $30,000. And so if you're looking to do the whole home, then a media-based system would be far less money, one-fifth the price. If you're looking to do just drinking water, then a reverse osmosis system is good. And we have a system that's designed to work with reverse osmosis to put hydrogen in the water, which we can talk about in a little bit. But that would be my recommendation, would be either a filtration system with media or an RO.
Okay. So can you just tell us a tiny bit about reverse osmosis, what it is, what it's actually doing?
Yeah, so with reverse osmosis, there is a membrane that the water is going through, and any particles larger than, let's say, a 0.0008 micron, or even 0.0001 micron, depending on the rejection rate of the RO membrane, but effectively, you're only putting through water and a small amount of mineral content or TDS through the water, you know, through the membrane. It's rejecting all other things that are larger than 0.0001 micron. And so it's very, very effective filtration system. And it used to be that you would lose 75-80% of the water and you would only be keeping 20-25%.
Wow.
But now they have brought more efficiency to these systems, and they have a 1-to-1. They used to be 10-to-1, so you would lose almost 90% in some systems of the water just to get 10% of the water that's good. In this case, now they have almost a very, very efficient systems that do not lose anywhere near that amount of water. It typically will only lose 20% and you keep 80%. These are the newer reverse osmosis systems that are very good. So, you know, that again, that's how they function. Some of them just drip through. Some have booster pumps to speed up the production, but that's how they work.
Okay, and some of the kind of objections that are leveled at them are what, and why aren't they an issue?
Well, the objections that some people say are that, you know, somehow reverse osmosis water is going to take minerals out of your body. This is completely untrue. Never has been substantiated. It's been promulgated by people that are selling these alkaline water systems because they can't use their systems with an RO, so they have to bash the RO system or talk negatively against it. Mm-hmm. The reality is, you know, you go to Germany, and the water coming out of the ground or out of the mountains is the same TDS as a reverse osmosis system. I mean, literally, the naturally occurring water in Germany, for instance, is 5 TDS. So that means everyone in Germany should be mineral deficient because it's the same thing. If the premise or the hypothesis or the claim is that because water, the reverse osmosis, has had the minerals taken out that were once there, possibly, then it's going to take minerals out of your body to add minerals back into water. This is a very foolish thought process, but has been promulgated through marketing, false marketing by other companies. And it's just completely false. That's the only thing that's out there, and it's completely untrue because, bottom line, the minerals that are in water are inorganic minerals from rock, you know? Mm-hmm. The minerals we need in our body, we need organic minerals from food. We don't need to eat rocks or lick rocks or what have you. Okay. So it's just a baseless claim. So.
And so these minerals, you're saying there isn't actually any benefit to the minerals that have been taken out to actually having them?
It's not beneficial to the body. Really, it's good to have some minerals in water from an energy and a frequency perspective. But as far as remineralizing the body or having minerals for the body, no, those minerals are not necessary for the body. We really need minerals from food, plants especially, that we're going to get minerals from.
Okay. Right. So assuming we've got our water supply in order, can you describe how good hydration could now support detoxification?
Absolutely. So if we're drinking water that the body can utilize, you know, it's going to go into the body, it's going to go into the kidneys, it's going to go into the liver, it's going to go into these different organs that we have, and blood and what have you, and along with the pancreatic system or our system that's built into our body that is designed to, you know, get rid of toxins, we pretty much have three ways in the body to get rid of toxins. The elimination system that is built into our body is, number one, urination, you know, going toileting, basically, you know, that's a normal elimination pathway. If toxins are in our body, then our kidneys can filter them out through blood, our liver can filter them out, and we can urinate or have fecal matter produced that has these toxins in them. That's one. We also have sweat. We are able to sweat out toxins if we're sweating and we're exercising and things. And then the other way, as we talked about, is breath, where when you exhale, out comes toxins that are in the lungs and filtered out through the lungs. So these three mechanisms all utilize water and are the process where we get rid of toxins naturally in our body. So again, we talked about hydration. Hydration is critical for us to be able to keep our bodies clean. A little bit of exercise, of course, as well, is very helpful in eliminating toxins out of our body.
Mm. All right. Well, there's a very interesting addition. I'd never heard of the lungs spoken about as a method of excretion, but now you described it, I see it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you've already mentioned that you've got a particular interest in what you call hydrogen-enriched water. We hear a lot about oxygen water as well, of course, as about oxygen and cancer, but not so much about hydrogen. That's the other half of the picture as far as water is concerned. So why should we be interested in getting more hydrogen into our systems?
That's a very good question, and let's talk quickly about oxygen. Mm. We know that we are not fish,
right.
So we cannot get oxygen gas into our body through water.
Right.
So this again is an old thinking that is not based on it's based on hypothesis, but it's not based on functioning. Hyperbaric chambers are totally different. When people are in a hyperbaric chamber, you're forcing oxygen into the body. Oxygen is an oxidizer, and so the body has to react to this oxidation that's put into it. That's a different story. But drinking water with extra oxygen in it is really not going to be utilized by the body. So we need to understand that we don't have gills, we can't utilize that oxygen. And let's talk about the water molecule for a minute. The water molecule is H2O, which is hydrogen and oxygen, and when they are gases, they are gases. But once they combine H2O into a water molecule, they are no longer in gas form. They are now a liquid. And you cannot really see them as hydrogen and oxygen anymore because they're a water molecule.
Okay.
Now, what we're doing in the ecosystem that I developed, we are taking a small percentage of water molecules and we're separating them back into gas form, hydrogen and oxygen. We are dissolving the hydrogen and allowing the oxygen to go off to atmosphere. And so that's what we're doing. We are focusing on dissolving the hydrogen because we want the hydrogen to get into the body, not the oxygen. The oxygen is unimportant. We breathe oxygen in through the lungs. That's a different process. What we want with hydrogen is we want hydrogen to get into the gut. And then it through the intestinal tract and the wall, that's where hydrogen goes into the body. And the reason we want to do that is hydrogen has always been a part of our body and should be. So let's go back and make sure that we understand from a foundational perspective why hydrogen is critical for life. And let's look at oxygen and hydrogen foundationally. Oxygen is an oxidizer. Hydrogen is a reducer. So hydrogen reduces oxidative stress and inflammation in the body and does many, many other things, but we'll just keep it simple for today. We produce hydrogen. So our bodies were designed, created, developed to produce up to 10 liters of hydrogen per day in our gut through the fermentation process or the digestion. So in the process of digesting short-chain fatty acids, fiber-rich foods, different water-soluble fibers, things of this nature, the E. coli that should be in our gut and is not always in our gut, but it should be in our gut, converts those fibers and short-chain fatty acids into hydrogen gas. Now, we know from every little boy who loves to fart and loves to do all these things and laugh and joke about it, we do produce flatulence when we are eating. Certain foods are higher in flatulence than others. And this flatulence is hydrogen, methane, different gases that are produced, but we can produce up to 10 liters of hydrogen. That is absorbed through the intestinal tract, the wall. It gets into the body to reduce oxidative stress. That's the natural way our body can keep oxidative stress at bay. It's one of the mechanisms built into the body. The problem is, over years and years, we have guts that have been damaged. We have pesticides. We have genetically modified or engineered foods. We have antibacterials or antibiotics that have been taken without ever building back the good bacteria in the gut. We have so many different things that happen that damage our gut health. You know, people call it leaky gut or other things like this. But the reality is the gut is 60% of the immune system. So really what's happening is our immune system is under attack from many different foods, chemicals, things like this that are aimed, I think, but I'm not going to, you know, we don't have to go down that road, but it's aimed to reduce our immune system and therefore increase our susceptibility to different diseases. This is why we've seen a huge rise in diseases over the last while, where we have seen significant increases in pesticide use, significant increases in genetically modified or engineered foods, significant increase in antibiotic use, right? It used to be the doctors knew very well if you had a virus, an antibiotic will do nothing for it. So why wait? Why harm your system? Now they just give it to you and say, well, if it's a virus, then you won't see a change. But in the process of doing that, you destroy the gut for almost a year each time you take an antibiotic. And some people, once you have the antibiotic and you don't build up the good bacteria, you can repeat the infection, or you can repeat the susceptibility, and therefore you just get on this train of having antibiotics and what have you. So why hydrogen? Why hydrogen is because if we put hydrogen into the gut through being dissolved in water, we can rapidly increase anaerobic microflora. We can re-inhabit the gut, reverse the damage that's done, and then help the body to create the environment again. And at the same time, for those that have not had good gut health and have too high of oxidative stress, the hydrogen that's in the echo water, for instance, can get into the body and reduce the oxidative stress, particularly the hydroxyl radicals the superoxide, or in other words, these are the free radicals that are reactive oxygen species, and they damage the mitochondrial function in the cells for energy production. They are the most cell damaging or cytotoxic oxygen radicals that are in the body, damaging the cell function, our functioning of our cells. So this is some of the things that hydrogen does, and that's what it's designed to do, is to go in and combine. And it's really beautiful science. When you look at a hydroxyl radical, it sounds so scary, it sounds crazy, because it's the most cell damaging free radical in our body, but it's simply a hydrogen and an oxygen. It's so close to water. Isn't that interesting? The most damaging radical is a hydrogen and an oxygen. So when we're producing hydrogen gas dissolved in water, and that gas gets into the body and then goes to the cells, it can then combine with hydroxyl radicals and you create water molecules. So imagine the beautiful science that was created by someone much more intelligent than us. But the bottom line, we're taking the worst free radical that is a byproduct of energy production in the body, a natural process of the body, which is oxidative stress, and we're taking that natural process, converting it right into a water molecule in the cells of the body. So then we're creating water from a free radical that's damaging to the body, and then we can pee out that water to get rid of toxins. Imagine the beauty of all that. And that's why I'm passionate about it. It's just the natural process of the body is so beautiful and simple. It's amazing.
Mm. All right. So you pointed towards several things there which are of particular interest to people with cancer, probably. Anything that controls free radicals is got to be good news from a point of view of the cell damage. And also restoring the immune system and the gut. Obviously, the immune system's critical to anyone with cancer. But also, of course, anyone who's undergoing orthodox treatment for cancer, their gut's likely to be in a mess. They'll have all the antibiotics you spoke of, but on top of that, they'll have a bit of chemo as well, quite likely, which is a complete killer, of course, for your gut flora. So there are many good reasons there to be interested in something that can help.
Right, and thank you for sharing that. One of the most beautiful studies that I share in my lectures has to do with a study that was published in 2015 in April, and it's on colon cancer. It was a beautiful study done by the company that produces the number one chemotherapy drug in colon cancer. So it's 5-fluorosil is the name of the drug, and it's basically the go-to drug for people that have colon cancer. So the company wanted to know what would happen if we combine hydrogen and this chemotherapy drug. Will the hydrogen inhibit our drug, or will the drug inhibit hydrogen? And in this study, it actually showed that hydrogen stopped the cancer and did not inhibit the 5-fluorosil at all from working. And primarily, the two things they noted in the study was, number one, reduction of oxidative stress, which obviously that is the cause of all disease, cancer included, is when oxidative stress, or the inability of the body to naturally reduce oxidative stress into a normal range, because we always need oxidative stress, but we need to have it in a normal range, then you contract pathology. It's that's the process, is when the body can no longer keep oxidative stress in a normal range, you start to have failure, system failure. Well, in this study, it showed that not only did hydrogen reduce the oxidative stress that contributed to cancer in the first place, but also there is this beautiful thing in the body called cell apoptosis, where effectively the cell destroys itself. Mm-hmm. So apoptosis is where the cell will just basically combust. I mean, that's very overly simplified terms, but the reality is it destroys itself. Well, when cancer gets into a cell and takes over, these cells, for some reason, don't destroy themselves like they should, and they start to multiply. Well, one of the things that the study showed was that when hydrogen gets into the body, and particularly into the cells, it enhanced cell apoptosis. So it restored the function, the normal function of these cancer cells to destroy themselves when needed. And that was a very interesting discovery, that this body's ability to stop damage or stop hemorrhaging, so to speak, from a cancer perspective, was restored by hydrogen. And somehow hydrogen programs or restores the ability of the cells to function normally and to destroy themselves. Now, we've seen this because we have, the scientists have identified over 200 biomolecules in the body that are regulated by hydrogen gas, upregulation, downregulation, or nothing if nothing is needed. So this very beautiful science, and there's more and more and more science coming out, but when it comes to cancer, there are multiple studies, but the colon cancer study that I referenced is by far the best and most robust. And it's really beautiful to think that someone suffering from cancer could get hydrogen into their body and could greatly help their outcome. That, to me, is incredible.
Mm. Well, I mean, obviously, yes, if you can restore apoptosis, you've kind of solved the problem.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong, essentially, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so can you tell us a bit now about how you actually go about getting hydrogen to dissolve in water?
Okay, very good question. So dissolving any gas, it's really, hydrogen's a gas, and I think people are used to Perrier, which is carbon dioxide dissolved in water, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have sodas or pops that I'm not saying you should drink, but that's carbon dioxide dissolved in water, and we know that oxygen is dissolved in water, right? Or fish would all die. So the process or the idea of dissolving a gas is pretty simple. It's not too difficult, and there are ways to do it. There are several ways to do it. A, you could stick like a little tube in liquid, in water, and you could pump a gas into it, and you'll have a certain amount that's dissolved based on the atmospheric pressure of that liquid in the container that it's in. You know, it depends on the bubble size of the gas as well and how readily or how easily you can dissolve that type of gas based on its size. When it comes to hydrogen, we know that hydrogen is number one on the periodic table because it's tiny. So hydrogen is very, very small. That is a benefit to us naturally, that it is a nano, you know, in the nano size, because it will be easier to dissolve through the process. Now, the technology we use is electrolysis. Electrolysis, we didn't discover it. Anthony Carlyle in London did in the year 1800. And the reason he did that, you know, he was a surgeon in London. And people say, why, you know, what's a surgeon doing that for? Well, he had read a study in 1798 that showed hydrogen as an antioxidant. So he was creating a hydrogen generator and effectively using electrolysis. And when you have nothing else in the electrolysis chamber other than water, you now will degrade water, or you will turn water into its constituent elements, which is hydrogen and oxygen. And at the cathode, the negatively charged electrode, you'll have hydrogen building. And on the anode, the positively charged electrode, you'll have oxygen gas. So through this process of splitting a small part of the water molecules into the gases that form them, you will dissolve hydrogen gas at the cathode. Now, the problem is with electrolysis-based systems is when you have minerals in water, which you need the minerals in water to have conductivity and to have the electron transfers through electrolysis and to have electricity go, because we know water is really not conductive unless there's things in the water, right?
Okay.
So when you're processing through electrolysis, these minerals that are inherently in water will bond to the cathode, the very same electrode that's producing the hydrogen gas. And the problem is if the minerals bond, then the ability of that electrode to dissolve hydrogen gas, or the electrolytic chamber to dissolve hydrogen gas, goes down and down and down until there's a non-detectable amount of hydrogen gas.
Right,
so and it's all purely based mineral building up on the cathode.
It's like a sort of kettle getting furred up. Just want to get a picture here. It's essentially, it's like a sort of kettle getting furred up. You're going to have to clean this.
Yeah, with traditional electrolysis, you would have mineral buildup within a week or two of using it in a normal process. And by having it there, the bubbles, the hydrogen gas bubbles, will coalesce, or they will group together and form two larger bubbles, and you won't be able to dissolve them anymore. Because if you have large bubbles, you have to have more pressure in the solution. Effectively, you have to apply more pressure so that you force those bubbles in, and there's not that much pressure in an electrolysis system. And so therefore, those bubbles just go out to atmosphere, and that's why there's no benefit to the body within a week or two of the typical systems. Now, our system has many patents, but one of the patents is on changing the polarity of the electrodes every single time the machine is used. So at that point, it's impossible to have any minerals build up on the electrodes, because you're constantly changing what's the cathode and what's the anode.
Okay.
And therefore, you don't have any mineral buildup. And we have machines that have been out for 10 plus years, no mineral buildup on the electrodes, still dissolving twice the therapeutic concentration of hydrogen. And it's wonderful to be able to have this process. And so it was a very simple change to change the polarity of the electrode, and therefore make it impossible for the electrodes to have minerals build up.
I just want to check by reversing them, obviously you're changing it from one to the other where the buildup would occur, but is there some kind of self-cleaning mechanism happens when it changes from a cathode to an anode? Is that why if there was a bit of buildup, it disappears?
Right, of course, because you're producing on the anode, now you're producing hypochlorous acid, and you're producing oxygen, which is then going to clean that electrode on its own. And any tiny, tiny amounts that happen during a glass or two of water, you immediately push off the electrode.
I see.
When you're doing it every single time, then it's impossible for the minerals to build up. And that's the only way to stop it. That's the only way. If you do it every 10 liters, 20 liters, or if you do it every so often, the reality is it's too late. Because once the calcium is bonded and too much, it's really difficult to get off unless you have citric acid or 30% vinegar, and you're making sure you put that right onto the electrode so that you can dissolve the calcium that's built up. So the only way to do it is to keep swapping the cathodes and the anodes so that it's impossible for the minerals to build up in the first place.
Okay, so this is the piece of equipment that you've designed, patented. You provide these machines. Is this a freestanding machine? Is this a plumbed-in machine? How does the thing fit into your home?
The machine can go on the counter or below. I developed it where you could use it either way. You can put it on top of the counter and use it just connected to your existing faucet with a simple diverter valve. You can also plumb it in to the cold water valve underneath, and then you would use our digital faucet that can go on top of the counter because it has all the controls on the faucet and it connects to the machine and controls the machine. So it can be either the same exact machine. Let's say someone's renting today, and 5 years later they want to buy a house, they can convert it. It's very simple. Just by buying the digital faucet and putting it below counter, now they have a very elegant faucet that all the touch controls are on the faucet. So very simple.
Okay. And so the water that's coming out, is it a bit like drinking carbonated water?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be very smooth, very light. Some people say, wow, it feels lighter than water or what have you. It's very smooth. It's very rich. It's very clean. Some people who at one point in their life lived near mountains and had, you know, mountain water that has a very nice taste to it, they will say, wow, this tastes like mountain water or spring water, you know, that's very, very alive to me. So that's what it's going to taste like. Very clean, very crisp, very nice, very light in the mouth. Yeah.
Okay. So it's a fairly sophisticated bit of kit. So I assume that it costs quite a bit. So are there any other options for getting hold of the water itself?
Well, of course, here in the U.S. and in Europe, we have places that sell the water by the gallon, so people can pay $2 a gallon to get the water.
Okay.
It's far less money to just purchase a machine because it costs, you know, 15 cents a gallon to produce it through the machine, so very, very economical.
Sure.
When they purchase our machine, you know, they have a warranty that's forever, so it covers the machine forever, and it's very, very good. And, you know, here in the, you know, UK and what have you, there's different ways to purchase, you know. But when you look at the price of our machine, it's actually, it should be the highest price in the market because of the 20 patents that we have and the fact that it's the only machine in the world that will actually produce the hydrogen indefinitely. But we're not. We're right at the middle of the pricing. We have machines that are twice as expensive as ours. And if people want to have hydrogen in those machines, they'll have to clean every week to 2 weeks with citric acid or vinegar, which will take them a few hours every week. So, you know, and that those machines are twice as expensive as ours. And so really we're priced perfectly in the industry, but we're giving them installation included, a forever warranty on the Echo 9 Ultra H2 machine, for instance. And in all of those bells and whistles we provide to them, and still the pricing is only in the middle of the industry. And so it is very affordable for people. You know, they are receiving filtration, our filtration that's built into the machine removes metals and pesticides and pharmaceuticals and the things that we talked about earlier. It removes those things out of the drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And then and the Echo 9 Ultra H2 is the only machine in the world that will produce 7 pH or neutral pH water with hydrogen gas dissolved. It also produces alkaline because there's a lot of people that believe alkaline water is better for you. So it produces alkaline water with hydrogen gas dissolved in it as well. And then it produces acid water with hypochlorous acid. And that is excellent for killing E. coli, Salmonella, MRSA, staph. People rinse their fruits, their vegetables, their meats, their fish, their poultry. And they also clean their counters and wash their face if they have acne or psoriasis or eczema. So really this machine, the machine that's our Rolls-Royce machine, the Echo 9 Ultra H2, that one is the only machine in the world that produces all three types of water that are very beneficial for a household. And people, especially females, really fall in love with the water that's for cleaning and also used for plants. So people that sprout foods, herbs, and different things use the acid water because it will kill spider mites and black mold. And the sprouts and the plants, household plants even, will thrive. So if people are just looking, Robin, for drinking water, we have machines that are far less money that are just one stream of water, neutral pH, with hydrogen gas dissolved in it. And we have three machines that do that. One is a countertop, one is an under sink, and then we have the other one, the hydrogen water server that works with a existing reverse osmosis system. And these are almost half the price of the other machine. So very, very affordable.
Okay, so if you're thinking of getting a reverse osmosis, then this is not so much more money to get the hydrogen thrown in, is that fair to say?
Right. The unit that we call the hydrogen water server, it has no filtration and no maintenance because the RO system that it's connected to is already doing the filtration, and they're going to be maintaining the membranes. And at this point, It's a very, very effectively priced. It's less than $2,000 for that unit, and they just install it, put it in, and it's done.
Just to be clear, that is in addition. You've got to already have your filter system in. That's going to just do the hydrogen addition.
Yeah. So reverse osmosis, the prices of that are all over the place, and I would tell people shop it around because you shouldn't have to spend more than $1,000 for an RO system. I mean, anything more than that is crazy. And you can actually purchase them. You should be able to purchase them, you know, for $500 to $700 for a really good RO system. We are coming out with a unit that's reverse osmosis and the hydrogen water server all in one unit. That will allow people just to put one thing under their sink, no big tank. It's a tankless RO system that'll produce, you know, a liter a minute, 2 liters a minute. And so that's very, very good. It's an all-in-one solution for them.
Okay.
I mean, I would just say if there, this is not just something I came up with. You know, there are over 700 studies showing the therapeutic benefits of hydrogen gas dissolved in water. We talked a little bit about cancer, but with diabetes, for instance, you know, 80%, the studies show 80% of the individuals with type 1 or type 2 diabetes or impaired glucose tolerance can be normalized in a short process, you know, just a few weeks in the study. So whether it's Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, autism, you know, neurologic issues, rheumatoid arthritis, which is neurologic as well, tremendous benefits. So hydrogen, there's over 170 human disease models at this point that have been identified that hydrogen is therapeutic with. Every possible disease model that you can think about, it helps. And really that sounds crazy unless you understand that most all of these diseases, while they have different names, their source is oxidative stress. And so, again, hydrogen is there to reduce oxidative stress. And when people are suffering from things like, you know, joint issues and what have you, hydrogen is tremendous at reducing, you know, oxidative stress, inflammation, and pain, and is wonderful for the body to increase energy. Just so many different things. Now, in our machines, we have filtration, we have hydrogen, and we also have energy and frequencies. And not everyone really understands the benefits of energy and frequencies or even, you know, understands it enough to talk about it. But the reality is some of these beneficial frequencies, like sometimes when you give someone a hug or you shake their hand, you know, you can feel something. You can feel like, oh, you know, I like that person, or, oh, something's weird with that. But this is all energy transfer, frequency transfer, where you can feel something when you're around certain individuals. These energies, these intrinsic energies that some people feel and some people don't, can be very beneficial to the body. And so inherent to our systems, we also have some very, very good intrinsic energies and frequencies that are beneficial to the body. So when you look at our, and some people call this structuring, I don't know that I agree with the term, but some people refer to it, and it's become mainstream now to talk about structured water. And
yes,
some people run water over volcanic rocks or quartz crystals or different things. You know, if you look at Missouri Emoto's work, which is very beautiful, certain words and names and statements can change the feel of water is what he was trying to teach the world. And some people, of course, accept that as truth, and some people don't. So it is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some people think it's okay to yell at people. Some people want to talk calmly and tell people they love each other. Some people want to tell them they hate them. So, you know, this world is a place where we can do a lot of things, whatever we think is best, right? But the reality is, Dr. Emoto did test our water, and we had a very beautiful crystal made of our water that is very similar to the crystal he made from the word truth. And so I love that. The bottom line is we have over 412 intrinsic energy and frequencies that are very very love-based and very much beneficial to the body. Whether people feel it or not, there's still benefit, you know? And so I just want to make sure everyone understands that not only are we filtering water and adding hydrogen, but we are, quote unquote, structuring the water very beautifully. And people that are Reiki masters, people that are craniosacral therapists, people that are intuitive will fall in love with our water the moment they drink it and feel what's there. And so we don't even need to talk about it that much. But I did want to point that out because a lot of people ask about structured water.
Okay, thanks very much for that. All right, well, I think we're about out of time. That's been really interesting. Thanks very much for talking to us today. There's a lot to consider about water. It's such a basic building block of our bodies, clearly. And if we don't consider it carefully, particularly if we've got a chronic condition such as cancer, we're clearly missing something important. So really helpful to hear all your expertise on the subject.
Oh, thank you very much, Robert. It's an honor to be on with you today. And, you know, my intention is to educate and to lift, you know, people from where they are. And I am grateful for you taking the time to educate individuals in the UK. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, I found that fascinating, both from the point of view of hearing a lot more of the detail behind the exhortations of so many practitioners to drink loads of water, but also to hear about hydrogen-enriched water, which is complete news to me. As usual, if you look on the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, and click on the homepage link to the Yes to Life show, you'll find links to material mentioned in today's and every show. Another call to runners, aspiring runners, and even walkers. The first Yes to Life 10K run is going to be in Victoria Park, London on the 24th of September. Click the link on the homepage of the Yes to Life website or go direct to yestolife10k.org. So that's yestolife10k.org to find out more or to sign up. This is a great opportunity to support the work of the charity. We rely really heavily on the support of the public to be able to continue to help people with cancer. Also, make a note in your diary that the 25th of November is the date of this year's Yes to Life annual London conference. It's titled Starting the Conversation, Exploring Ways in Which Integrating Conventional and Complementary Cancer Care Can Improve Outcomes. This is going to be an important event and we have some amazing speakers lined up for you. Next week, my guest on the show will be German doctor Henning Sauper from the Arcadia Praxis Clinic in Bad Emstal. I hope you'll be able to join me again. Goodbye.